Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up 500,000 in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take newsletter, and I'm also a broker at Daniels Trading. We work with online traders, broker-assisted, hedgers, speculators. So if you have any interest in the futures and options market on the spec or hedge side, please feel free to give us a call. My number here is 800-958-9470. For existing clients, if you like anything we're talking about, spec or hedge side, futures, options, spreads, give me a call. I would love to catch up and put some of these ideas to work. If you like Turner's Take Podcast, feel free to send it along. It is free. It's a way for me to reach people. Also, if anyone wants to take a look at the newsletter and doesn't already get Turner's Take, you can text 33777. That's 33777 with the message Turner, T-U-R-N-E-R. Hit send, follow the instructions, and you can check out Turner's Take newsletter. All my contact information is in the show notes, so let's get to it. Number one, macro events. The big, big news today, and probably for this week, is going to be Moderna. They had positive results of a vaccine that they started testing in March, and those results came in out of 45 people tested. It looks like all 45 of them had boosted immune systems with basically antibodies that combat COVID in some way, shape, or form. So it was a big boost to their immunity to that disease. So that was big, and we see the stock market breaking out higher now. This could put enough excitement in the stock market to go back to the highs. What's going to happen is towards the end of July, that 45... Moderna just got approved to go into the final stage of testing. This thing's really being fast-tracked. And what's going to happen is at the end of July, they'll try this vaccine on 30,000 people. So it was 45, and now it's going to go up to about 30,000 people. And again, so it started in March, so April, May, June, July. So 3 to 4 months, probably let's call it 3 months it took to really see how it performed. So if they're doing it at the end of July, you got to say August, September, October, so end of October, early November, we'll probably hear about the results. You're going to probably take the same time frame, I'm just guessing. And then we'll know if this is how the widespread vaccine works with everyone. And then you got to give it a month or so to ramp up production. Maybe they're already kind of doing that. And who knows, maybe we do have a vaccine by the end of the year. Which would be very, very positive. It does look like the fall is out of the question, right? So, you know, as far as fall sports and school and a whole lot of the things with the economy and just life in general, seems like we'll be in the same pattern for a while. But the market is forward thinking, and it will start price, if things go well, we'll start pricing in a more positive 2021. So that is... that's where we are at the moment. What's going to be interesting, even if it sounds like this one's going to work out, but even if it doesn't in terms of the vaccine, I would like everyone to remember there's a lot of money and a lot of effort being thrown at this thing. A lot of shots on goal, and only one needs to go in, right? So most likely something's going to come out of this positively sooner rather than later in terms of either treatment and vaccine or both. So that is the macro market wrap, and or that's the reason for the stock market going higher. It could help crude, but I think it won't help crude energy and some like the macro commodity markets until we see more demand. I think the stock market will probably see the rush of money and investment going into it first. But crude is up a dollar today. We're at 41.80. in December. I really didn't think we'd break, I still don't think we'll break out of the low 40s until we do get some kind of vaccine, but, and some real economic pickup here. But it's going to be good. There's no doubt this is good news. So that's what's going on in the macro markets. Let's turn over to the grain markets here. We had the WASD last week. It was fairly neutral to the markets. We had the soybean crush report come out. More meal was crushed than thought. Soybean oil stocks were lower than we thought. Good to excellent ratings in corn and soybeans came down a little bit. The big thing that's happened, though, with corn and soybeans is the weather. The weather has gotten a lot better and a lot less threatening. And for corn to rally, we have to think that we're going to have lower than trend line yields, and by quite a large margin. If we're anywhere near trend line yields, we're most likely going down, and $3, you know, a harvest low of $3 isn't out of the picture. You know, I know some people talk about sub $3 corn. It could happen, but if it does, it's probably short-term in nature. It wasn't like before we were talking about 3 billion bushel carryouts and we'd be below sub-3 for a while. If it should happen, I would think it's just part of the harvest low process and would only live down there for a very short period of time. Because here's the thing, even if we have like 2.6 billion carryout on corn and we get futures into the low threes, ethanol works better. Feed, corn feed over all other feed alternatives work better. Export prices work better in the United States compared to a lot of countries at that point. So just can't see it staying down there for that long if it gets there. Now, in the meantime, could we go up 5-10 cents in corn? Definitely. You get some return of bad weather. Maybe you get China buying some more corn. A lot of things could happen. You know, we're still in the middle of July. We can get a rally. But December corn going to 340, 345 most likely is a sale at this point. And soybeans will probably be range-bound. Again, soybeans will be range-bound until we get a better idea of the weather. And, you know, the weather for soybeans, critical point is really we're coming into that window now. So soybeans will probably be a little bit more, will be affected more by the weather as we get into later July and early August as opposed to corn. And maybe the range for beans is like mid-8s to high-8s, low-9s still, but it's hard to get more excited than that. If we have current production levels and demand levels, you would think beans would hold its value better to corn. So like the idea of being long soybeans and short corn. Still like the idea. You know, for anyone who's catching up on sales on the farm side, I would be looking to sell deferred corn contracts as they rally. And I think between now and the last day in August, which is first notice day, we'll probably see the slow bleed lower. So that is what it's looking like for the corn market right now. Wheat is very different. We've had a big run up in the past couple of days, and wheat today, Chicago soft red winter wheat, was up 20 cents in December, over 24 in Sep. So Labor Day, September, Chicago wheat up 24, 25 cents to 551. December, the Christmas wheat was at 2150, almost up to 555, 554. The big one the farmers are looking at is the July 21 wheat. That was up 15 cents to 553. We actually had some sale orders in there at 550 for new crop. Quite a few farmers were planting winter wheat, the Chicago soft red winter wheat, in places that we haven't seen a lot of wheat lately. And that includes parts of Illinois, even, you know, and Ohio and some other parts of the Midwest, to farmers that I talked to that we haven't talked about wheat in years. Now that's been a topic of conversation in terms of them growing it. So what's going on with wheat? Why were we up 20 some odd cents? Couple of things. One, the situation in Russia is still bad on their production. Yields are coming down, and so is the quality. And we'll just have to see where Russia and the Ukraine, the Black Sea, the European area shake out of all this. But there is a real concern about about wheat. Two, this, if there are issues with Russian wheat, now we're going to start hearing more about export quotas out of Russia, right? And that's always a reason to short cover. And the funds, as of the commitment of traders last week, were short about 30,000 of the Chicago wheat. I want to say 10 to 20 also combined of the spring and hard red winter wheat. So they were short in the all wheat category, 40, 50, 1,000 contracts. Now, I'm sure that's changed, but that was a sizable short position to have to come out of if they wanted to bail out. Two, okay, so that's two. Number three, Australia and Argentina are now going to be really looked at in what's gone with production there, because now that the United States is pretty much done and Russia know we're going to lose crop and that's going to finish up, the next crops have critical time period with weather and any kind of weather premium built into the global wheat market would be the southern hemisphere, because their critical times for growing will be August, September, October. And not only is it the southern hemisphere wheat, it's the major exporters that are in the southern hemisphere. So that's Argentina and Australia. So that'll be big. We'll start seeing more stories about weather down there. And finally, so those three things are definitely, well, the Russian wheat has an issue, and southern hemisphere wheat will be a focus. That I'm sure. The whole export quota of Russia, that's just speculative. And the other speculative thing, I will say number four, which probably kicked up wheat the most today, and was based on rumors, because I can't confirm any of this, but apparently the rumor is China came in and bought cargoes from the U.S. for soft red winter wheat, that Chicago contract, and that's what got the wheat market into overdrive today, right? So we were going to be up anyways because of Russia and the weather and the shorts coming out and the market just dealing with that, and we got up to the 200-day moving averages for a lot of the wheat contracts, and then we blew through the 200-day moving averages for a lot of the wheat contracts, especially the Chicago wheat, on the rumors of China buying wheat. Now, we'll wait for the reports. We'll see if that really happened. And if it does, I suspect we'd be over the 200-day moving average for a while. But when you cross the 200-day moving average and you close above it, all those long-term trend programs, the funds, the technical selling programs and buying programs will see that. And the shorts either cover or they switch to long. There are other buy programs out there that are looking for crosses above the 200-day moving average and will buy. So a big technical day in the wheat market too. So if you look at your screen and you see, wheat's up over 20 cents, that's what's going on. I am known to say all rallies in wheat deserve to be sold. The thinking behind that is that no matter, when you look at the wheat market, there's always, and this is for years now, in the United States and in the world, there's a lot of wheat. And while certain classes of wheat can get tight, that's certainly true. Whether that was spring wheat a couple of years ago, or hard red wheat 10 years ago, we've had a quality issue for the past couple of years with the soft red winter wheat, which is why Chicago had been trading over Kansas City. In each specific class, you can get issues. But when you look at the all wheat in the United States and the globe, we have more wheat in the United States and around the world than we know what to do with. So this rally will take place. We'll find out in the next couple of days probably what's really the deal in Russia. And then they'll see how much wheat they produce, how much they're going to be able to export, and if they'll need quotas. We'll have an idea in the long-range forecasts for Australia and Argentina and how critical their wheat's going to be. Then we'll see if China's actually really buying wheat. At some point, this wheat's going to be a sale. I don't know if I really want to chase wheat because it's a supply-driven market. So one concept that I like to talk about when I speak at conferences or something like that is the difference between a supply side rally and a demand side rally. The demand side is what you want, right? That's what helped corn, through all the, when we had the renewable fuels with ethanol and biodiesel, and we basically had a 6, 7, 8 year period of increasing demand, whether it be from the mandates for ethanol or from China, growing and needing more soybeans, right? So we had some nice demand drivers in the market for multiple years, and that can sustain prices and keep a bid in the market and cause some nice gains during the summer rallies and the weather periods, right? Then there's supply side rallies, which are short term in nature. They tend to be more violent, or they tend to be bigger. They also tend to be much more short lived. So when we look at the wheat market here, and the reason being is eventually there's another crop, or, you know, what causes spikes in the market, the biggest spikes in the market is the uncertainty. There's never like a scare uncertainty on the demand side. It's not like, you know, someone comes in and says, hey, you know, we're going to buy, there's some event where all of a sudden someone's going to come in and buy half the world's corn. Like that doesn't happen in one fell swoop or a short period of time. But a natural disaster certainly can take a lot of crop off the table, right? So on the supply side, because there's this uncertainty of how much you don't know what you're going to lose, the uncertainty creates outsized moves. And that's what happens on a supply side rally. What also happens on the supply side rally is that it just takes one more crop cycle to get things back to normal. And then how big that move will be within each commodity is, well, where are these commodities produced for export around the world? So soybeans can be the most sensitive to the supply side rally because we only make soybeans for export in two areas of the world every 6 months. The Northern Hemisphere, it's the United States, North America, and the Southern Hemisphere, it's South America. And other regions produce soybeans, but not for the export market, right? And that's really the key there. And every year, we got to produce about 4 billion bushels of soybeans in the United States. And then South America as a whole needs to produce about 6 billion. And if you have and every 6 months, there's this huge, there's this huge chance for just a break in the supply line that, you know, if you have an issue with one of those regions, now you got to ration supplies for 6 months. And that would be that would create the most violent of the supply side rallies. Wheat, on the other hand, on the other side of the spectrum, when you look at wheat is produced in a lot of regions in the world for export in the Eastern Hemisphere, Western Hemisphere, Northern Hemisphere, and Southern Hemisphere, right? So you're usually only a couple of months away from the next big harvest, maybe even a month or two away. In the wheat market, while in soybeans it's 6 months, and corn's kind of somewhere in between. So because corn has South America, the United States, and the Black Sea, right? While wheat has, you know, Australia too, and there's a lot more of it in South America and throughout Europe, well, you know, not just the Black Sea, but through Europe and Russia. So wheat has a lot bigger room for error. So when you combine the world supplies, how much wheat is out there, U.S. and globally, and also how quickly we come in the calendar to another exporting nation that can have wheat for sale. The supply side rallies in wheat, I always say, in my mind, deserve to be sold. How high are we going to go here? Well, now you got to respect the technicals and the movement. We just closed above the 200-day moving average. If something comes out in the next couple of days that China was buying wheat, we can go up to some old highs here. I mean, I'm going to look at July 21 because that would be the new crop. We're at 553. I mean, you can make the case if we keep on going here, 565, another 10 or 12 cents higher as a resistance point, then 572.73. And if you look at a continuous chart of wheat, if we're just going to follow the front months and the spec, so the hedgers will look at 21, the spec guys will look at SEP and DEIS. You know, and if we look at the continuous contract for the spec traders out there, about 580 in the September, 580 in the September, probably for December, like 590. Those are going to be some pretty big highs. Those are the highs right before COVID. That could happen. At that point, we'll take a look to see what the Russian crop looks like, and we'll take a look to see what China's real appetite and demand is for wheat. If it isn't, you know, a huge demand, on the Chinese side and the weather looks okay for South America, you can make the argument there's no, you know, wheat's going to probably come down 50 cents to a dollar by the end of the year. So again, we'll all see. I don't want to chase the rally in wheat higher. I do like the idea of selling it at some point, and we will do that, but I'm just not going to do it right now. We just closed above the 200-day moving average, and sometimes that can really give you some legs. So let's watch the market for you day traders and swing traders out there. If you wanted to get on the long side of this, you know, I'd probably use the 200-day as my support and see how you do with that. And you're going to be living and dying by the weather in Russia and rumors of Chinese sales. But could be an exciting market to be part of in, you know, during the day. Otherwise, we'll see how far this runs up and, you know, how much we can use for one, farmers making forward sales, and two, on the swing to position traders probably looking to sell it too at some point going forward. So that is going to be the wrap here. Oh, real quick, energy, I'll get into next time. I think energy is just going to go with the stock market, and we'll have to just follow the whole vaccine thing. The hog market, I still like December hogs. We were buying some under 50. I think we're now at 51 or 52. I still like it. I don't see a ton of risk in December hogs below 50 right now, so we'll hold on to it. We had been buying December cattle below 100, and we're at about 108 now. So you really got to ask yourself, are you going to trade this, or are we going to carry this to the end of the year? I can see cattle being 110 to 120 in December. I found it very hard to see it above 120. I find it very hard to be below 100 either. So, I don't know, that trade, if you're trading multiple lots, maybe you want to take a little off here and then see if we really do come up another $7 or $8. But I think things are looking at cattle. And a lot of guys I talked to in the cattle industry are talking a lot about a lot of the animals and the weights, and I get it. But usually what you'll see now is this trend to not feed as much cattle, not bring as much into production, into the supply line, and you'll see a lot of cattle get slaughtered now so we can chew through the demand, and that will show up positively in the back months when we have less animals. And also, we'll have lower weights in the winter, and demand is usually better in the winter too. So I still like those. I still like the back end of the cattle curve, but not nearly as much as I did $8 lower ago. And that is where we are. So if you have any questions for me, let me know. Feel free to contact me anytime. If you're a client, you want to talk about wheat, the grain market, stocks, crude, anything to do with futures and options, let me know. If you have any interest in working with me and what that would be like, feel free to contact me. My number is 312-706-7610. You can also catch my email address at cturner@danielstrading.com or turnerstake@danielstrading.com. You can those emails go directly to me. Also, check out the podcast, or if you know someone who would like the podcast, please send it over to them. And if you like the podcast, please go over to iTunes and give us a review, and check out the newsletter if you haven't already. And if you'd like to, you just got a text number 33777-33777, message Turner, follow the instructions, and you can check that out too. So stay safe, everyone. Sounds like better news is on the way. And I'll talk to everyone later.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse, any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.